VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
So much has happened in the last 48 hours when you think about Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives trying to force the vice president to unconstitutionally use the 25th Amendment to remove a president. And when that didn't work, in record fashion with no hearing, with limited debate, rushed to impeach for a second time the president of the United States. By the way, what does that 25th Amendment say? What was its purpose? What about this rush to impeach? What about social media's efforts to silence the president? Even some sites banning patriotic merchandise and many attempts to blacklist those who have worked in the Trump administration. Have the gates now officially opened to fulfill the socialist dream envisioned by Bernie Sanders, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer? Well, joining us with comment on these and many related issues, we welcome back to Crosstalk William J. Fitterer. Bill is a nationally known speaker, historian, author, president of Amerisearch. That's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. He's a speaker on the American Minute Daily Broadcast. He has authored numerous books, including America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, Who is the King in America?, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present, in which he analyzed how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control, and many other books as well. Bill, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Jim, great to be with you.
We've got a lot on our plate here today, much we want to examine. I'd like to begin with a tweet that was sent out, Bill. And I'm first going to read you the tweet, and then we'll identify the date and the writer. The tweet said this: "Our election was hijacked. There is no question. Congress has a duty to hashtag protect our democracy and hashtag follow the facts." Bill, this tweet was sent out May 16, 2017. The writer was Nancy Pelosi, who objected to Donald Trump as president, the same who has for 4 years done everything possible to discredit him, to have him removed, including two impeachments, and has the audacity to question anyone who suggests even a hint of voter fraud in the 2020 election. She was questioning and making such declarations from the get-go in the early days of the Trump presidency, Bill.
Right. So what we're seeing is that this is just a vindictive response from the left that has hated not just Trump, but everybody that supports him. Basically, 75 million people, the record number of Republicans have turned out to vote for him. And make no mistake, if they get away with doing this to Trump, they will come after every single person that supported him. It's a third world tactic. It happens in Mexico. It happens in the Muslim countries, where they go after the former leader and they're not content until they lock him away and his family, and in often cases kill him. So we need to stop this, and it needs to stop with people making their voices known that we need to immediately stop this hypocrisy.
Let's talk about that 25th Amendment, specifically Section 4 of that amendment. This amendment was adopted, Bill, February 10th of 1965. What can you tell us about this amendment and its attempted use last week? Is this how what was the original intent of this amendment?
No, it was put in place after John F. Kennedy was shot, and it was used when Nixon resigned, and then you had Spiro Agnew. He had resigned, and then Gerald Ford became the president. This has been an attempt to turn the 25th Amendment on its head and use it as a political tool, no different than any other political tactic. And again, you study kingdoms, civilizations, republics throughout history. The rapid change of leadership shows the end of an empire. Even the Bible, when it gets toward the end, they're changing out kings every couple months. The Roman Republic was the same way. They're changing out emperors every couple months, and it gets you know, the nation of Israel, that you have Judah and Israel, the two kingdoms.
So
this gets down to somebody serving for 8 months and then they're knocked off.
Yeah. So this amendment, I mean, talks about in section four, speaks of president pro tempore of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, the written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. The vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president. That's what they were seeking for Mike Pence to do. He's to state basically he's incompetent. He can't discharge the duties, and I'm here to take over.
Yeah, you know, one of the examples was James Garfield was shot and was lying there for 80 days before he finally died. And so, and another was Woodrow Wilson. He was an invalid, and in the last 18 months before he died, his wife was the only one that could go in the room with him. And they would say, ask your husband this, and she would come back out and say, oh, he says that. And it's like, how do we know that she's not just making this stuff up? So we saw the need for it. It was passed. It was only expected to be used in very emergency cases. For them to try to say that Trump was unstable and therefore he should be removed, that's a very subjective, and if anybody's unstable, there's plenty of video showing that the Biden would fit that category.
Wow. So Nancy Pelosi and her colleagues rushed this resolution to have the president, or rather vice president, unconstitutionally use the 25th Amendment to remove the president. That failed. So let's talk about the certification vote January 6th in the Electoral College. And instead of the 25th Amendment bill, let's talk about the 12th Amendment, of which it was the vice president's position that there was nothing more than that he had than a ministerial function for him to perform. Do you agree with that or disagree?
The word certify means to guarantee as true. And I have a degree in accounting. I worked in a company and the head accounting partner, before I had joined the company, he had signed off on some financial returns. It was a $1 billion company. And one of the numbers there was not, he had certified it, but the number was not accurate. It caused the stock price to go up a little bit. The SEC did an investigation, and they found this head of the accounting department guilty. He had to report to the police station and get booked in, and he was behind bars. Of course, the company had insurance policies, and they went and fished him out of the jail. But this was the talk in the accounting department, that when you certify something, ignorance is not an excuse. You can't say, oh, I didn't know. No, no, your job is to know. The fact that you're certifying it is you are guaranteeing to the public that they can trust these numbers and invest in the company. And so when you're a vice president or a senator and you are certifying these numbers, you are guaranteeing to the American public that these numbers are accurate. There needs to be proof of it. And when there's credible questions as to how Trump is ahead, then all of a sudden 4 o'clock at night, it flips and he goes from being ahead to behind. And we see that truckloads of ballots are reportedly being brought in. And one area, there were every single Republican won except Trump, and Biden wins that area. It makes no sense that you would have Republican turnout, that all the Republicans would win and they would vote for Biden. Anyway, credible questions that needed to be answered. At the very least, the head of the accounting department has to do audits and do as many audits as necessary. At the very least, the U.S. Senate should do audits like Ted Cruz recommended. Let's take 10 days off and let's audit these results. And for them to just simply say, I'm certifying this without doing anything, shows a tremendous amount of irresponsibility. It shows an abuse of the process that's the very least. At the most, it could show participation in corruption. But I'll leave that to later.
Bill, do you believe that the way that the vice president acted on this matter, the certification of the vote, was this a pivot point in what we saw take place here in regard to this election?
Yeah, it was the releasing of what appears to be an antichrist-type spirit. What do I mean by that? Those forces that hate Christianity have been emboldened to become more aggressive in their silencing of not just the conservative voice, but conservative just stands for what? Pro-life, pro-marriage being a man and a woman, pro you being able to work and keep what you've earned. These are all biblical principles. So unless something happens, and, you know, there's always faith that God can do a miracle, unless something happens, that certification, that very moment, there's a turning point, and everybody that, you don't have a million people show up at the Capitol unless there's lots of people that feel like something was done wrong. And again, I ran for Congress three times twice against Dick Gephardt. He was the Nancy Pelosi before Nancy Pelosi. He was the number one Democrat in Congress. And we experienced lots of strange things. Like, I'm ahead in Jefferson County, Missouri. The electricity goes off in the whole building. And when they reboot it, I go from being ahead to behind. There was another instance of on election night, I get a phone call while we're at our quote-unquote victory party, and they're telling me that they cannot find boxes of ballots from the different precincts, and one precinct was Guffey Elementary School. I personally stood in front of Guffey Elementary School for 8 hours because it was the largest precinct in that county, and I shook thousands of hands, and now I have a volunteer telling me they cannot find a box of ballots from that.
Right.
They left my name off the ballot in five wards in the city of St. Louis. Lots of these different things. And for somebody to say there was no voter fraud, they are flat out lying.
Yeah, yeah.
These are Lyndon Johnson, LBJ, when he ran for Senate in 1948, the ballot box number 13 in Alice County, Texas, he had lost. And then the next day, this is a New York Times article, by the end of the week, there were 202 extra ballots for LBJ, and they had all signed in alphabetical order with the same handwriting, with the same ink, and they were all names from the local cemetery.
Wow.
And that's the New York Times and the Washington Post did an article on that, too. They called him Landslide Lyndon. It was a tongue-in-cheek remark because he barely won by 87 votes in this fraudulent fashion. Voter fraud does exist, and it's been perfected.
And, Bill, will you categorically say, indeed, there was voter fraud in this 2020 election?
My opinion of having been a congressional candidate and being involved in this, yes, definitely.
Wow. Bill Fitter is with us today. I'd like to talk about what happened at the Capitol last Wednesday. President Trump had invited people across the nation to a rally. Many people came there out of great concern as to what was going on in Congress with the certification vote. And this day became the catalyst now for impeachment. Can you tell us exactly where and how President Trump incited a mob?
Right. He gave a speech, a typical Trump speech, and several things. One, Newsmax had an individual on who timed it out. There's no way somebody could have heard the entirety of Trump's speech and made it to the Capitol in time to breach it.
Let tell you what, we're going to put a pause button right there, Bill, because we're going to have you come back right after the break and circle back on this very issue. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk. Our topic today, a nation pursuing a path of socialism. We'll get more into that here in the next segment. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's Day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris, the flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Bill Fitter is our guest here today. He is author of the book Socialism, The Real History from Plato to Present. He analyzes how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. Doesn't that sound familiar, folks? We'll tell you later in the program how you can get a copy of his book if you have not already. But, Bill, take us back here to the Capitol just a week ago, last week Wednesday. And we talked about this rally. I had asked where and how did President Trump incite this mob, and you're saying, just as we're going into that break, nobody could have sat and heard and listened to that entire speech and make it, what, to the Capitol in time to do what was done?
Right. And so Center for Security Policy, Frank Gaffney, he has worked with different presidents and Ronald Reagan. He is very credible. So his website posted a firsthand account, J. Michael Waller, who was there. And he writes this. He goes, when we crossed First Street Northwest to enter the Capitol grounds where the Capitol Police had jurisdiction, I noticed no police at all. Several marchers expressed surprise. Passing by a few days earlier, I had noticed, with the presidential inaugural platform construction underway, the Capitol West front lawn had been blocked off with plastic. On this day, there was no barrier blocking the paved footpath with its high granite curbs on either side leading up to the Senate side of the hall. The openness seemed like a courtesy gesture from Congress, which controlled, you know. And anyway, he goes on to say that it was totally unusual that there was this lack of security when just a few days earlier there was lots of security. And then the Trump rallies. They leave it clean. They pick up the trash afterwards. And so J. Michael Waller writes about this, how there were people picking up trash, or they were taking their water bottles and sticking them in their empty, you know, the empty ones in their pockets. And it was totally uncharacteristic of them to do violence. And now it's come out that there have been Antifa people identified with the group.
I'm going to have you comment more on that, because we have the FBI, I understand, now reversing themselves. I saw an article in Western Journal. They're now indicating, as reported through Western Journal, that they knew a day prior that extremists were planning to infiltrate the January 6th protest in D.C. that ended up in this riot at the Capitol.
Yes. Now, a little background, 1788. There's a Swedish king, Gustav III, and he wanted to get into a war with Russia. He thought he could win. And his parliament would not approve funding. So Gustav had the tailor for the Swedish orchestra sew Russian uniforms. And he had Swedish soldiers put on the Russian uniforms, and they attacked a Swedish outpost. And they were... went all through Sweden, Russia had attacked. And when the word got to the parliament, all these congressmen in their parliament panic, and they go ahead and vote for funding of war with Russia. And so this is an example of the, a planned, so you could have people dressing up as Antifa and then attacking. They said that all the Antifa people had their MAGA hats on backwards. That's how you could identify them. Another is Himmler. He was a Nazi officer under Hitler, and the Nazis wanted to invade Poland. But public opinion worldwide would not approve it. And so he had a Operation Gleichwitz, and he had Nazi soldiers dress up in Polish uniforms and attack a German town. And this news report was spread across the country and the world that Poland had attacked Germany, and so then they had an excuse to invade Poland. And of course, even the Boston Tea Party, they did what? They dressed up as Indians. And so dressing up in another outfit, to create an incident that can cause a backlash against your opposition is a classic tactic. And, another one to throw in the mix is Stalin. He was the leader of the Soviet Union. And there was an anti-Stalinist movement that was gaining momentum. And he couldn't figure out how to stop it. And so he had a supporter named Sergei Kirov. He would give great speeches. He was popular. They even built a statue to Sergei Kirov. Well, Stalin decided he would assassinate his friend, Sergei Kirov, and blame it on the anti-Stalinists. Nobody would suspect Stalin because they're such good buddies. And everybody would suspect the anti-Stalinists because they didn't like Stalin and they didn't like Sergei Kirov. And so after this planned incident, Stalin had an excuse to go after every single supporter of the anti-Stalinist movement and hound them and arrest them. And he killed over a million people in this purge. So the staging of an event to blame on your opponent is classic. The Japanese did this when they wanted to invade China. So we go back to the 1930s, and Japan had built a railroad through a little part of the coast of China near a town called Mukden, and the Japanese claimed that the Chinese had blown up their railroad, and they used this as an excuse to invade and kill hundreds of thousands in Nanking, China. They did an investigation afterwards. The railroad had never blown up. They planned this incident that they could blame on their opponents as an excuse to go after them. Same thing happened in 1955 in Turkey. You had a remnant of a Greek community. All of Turkey, all of Constantinople used to be Greek Orthodox Christian. There's a small remnant left in Istanbul. And so they decide to plan a terrorist attack and blow up the home of the previous leader, Ataturk, who was popular, and his home was in Greece, and blame it on the Greek Christians. And the home never blew up. It never happened. But they ran with it anyway, and they published it in all the papers that the Greeks had blown up the home of Ataturk, and it whipped the country into this irrational frenzy where they went into the Greek neighborhoods and smashed windows and raped and pillaged and eradicated the last remnant of this Greek community there in Istanbul.
This is amazing because, I mean, here we talk about, I mean, the going back to the playbooks of ancient history to bring about this again is what the observation I'm making, Bill. And I saw at WND.com, they reported a Black Lives Matter radical who had previously threatened to burn down the White House, rip Trump right out of that office, admitted to Fox News he was at the riot Wednesday at the United States Capitol, but he insisted I was only there to document what was happening.
Yeah, you know, Saul Alinsky was in Chicago. He was teaching his radicals, and one of the books that reported on him said, we have an idea to discredit our opponent. We'll go to one of his rallies, and we'll say that he supports the KKK. And Saul Alinsky said, I know a better idea. Just go to his rally dressed up as a KKK member and just stand there showing support, right, for him. And so this idea of dressing up as your opponent and then creating, you know, an incident that your opponent can be then blamed for, it's classic. And so we need to wise up, especially, you know, there's word that, oh, there might be attacks on the 50 state capitals. There's no Republican group, no conservative or Christian group calling for anybody to show up at any state capitol. Where are they getting this info? There's a concern that the FBI, the deep state that's been trying to get rid of Trump for all these years, they themselves are planning this with people dressed up as Trump supporters to attack so they can get what's called optics. They want to get some film footage of people dressed up as Trump supporters doing violence. Why? So they can begin a purge of disarming all of the Trump supporters, all of the patriotic Americans, and then beginning to get them to lose their jobs, lose their bank accounts, can't travel. This is a purge if it's not stopped.
And folks, we're seeing it. I mean, in our capital in Madison, Wisconsin, this past Monday, they're boarding up all the windows there on the ground level there, the ground floor. Bill, let's also talk about this second impeachment, which was run as quick as a 50-yard dash. I have never seen such quick action on an issue of such magnitude as we saw on Pelosi's pursuing and pushing this second attempt here, and successfully so, an attempt to impeach the president.
Right. There's no hearings. There's no witnesses being called. There's no law and order. It is just a vindictive attack, again, not just at Trump, but at every single Trump supporter, every single conservative, every single pro-life person. And if they get away with this, they're unleashed. This will be similar to 1933. Let's look at Germany. You have Hitler, and he has his National Socialist Workers' Party, Nazi, and there's a violent arm to it. An Antifa, they call them brown shirts, or Sturmabteilungs, stormtroopers, because they would storm into the meetings of Hitler's opponents and disrupt them, and then they would lock arms and block buildings and block streets, and then they would go into the city and smash windows of over 7,000 Jewish stores and loot and set on fire, and then their capital got set on fire. And in the confusion, Hitler blames his political enemies for doing it, and he rounds up all of his political enemies and has them shot without a trial. When the dust settles, he has no political enemies. Here, he had his own group do the crises and then blame it on his political opponents. Again, this is a tactic that needs to be called out. People that don't know history say, oh, well, maybe it was the Trump supporters. It was not. It's totally out of character for Trump supporters. They leave the place clean. They pick up trash. They're orderly. They're supporting a law and order candidate. They would not stoop to breaking law.
Bill, Nancy Pelosi stated this, it breaks my heart. That was her comment about impeaching President Trump for high crimes and misdemeanors. With Congress certifying this vote, with Mike Pence giving his blessing to the certification of that vote, which said the Trump administration is over at 12 noon, January 20th, why is the House so determined to take such a drastic action which has never been done before?
A couple of reasons. The thought is that they want to prevent him from running again. If they can't do that, they want to smear him so bad that it will erode support for him. And we've seen that with the what's called RINOs, the Republican in name only people that are backing away from them of Trump because they don't want life to heat. And the third is if they can get away with it, they'll then go after the next tier, the congressmen and senators that supported him, you know, Cruz and Hawley. And then they'll go after the financiers, and then they'll work their way down. It's sort of like before lightning strikes, all the little electrons need to line up. And then they need to work their way down. And as the further they get down, the larger the snowball gets rolling down the hill. It'll have more force. A very similar thing happened with the French Revolution. Once they chopped off King Louis XVI's head and his wife, Queen Marie Antoinette, the mob was not satisfied. They were emboldened. It's blood in the water for the sharks. And they wanted more. So they went after all the royalty. They arrested them, round them up, and chopped their heads off. Did that appease them? No, they wanted more. So they went after all the wealthy. And then they went after all the businessmen and farmers. Finally, they went after anybody that was hoarding. You have extra stuff in your house and we don't have enough. You're selfish. We're going to take away your stuff. And they would use the power of the state as this growing momentum to crush anybody until they finally eradicated anybody that was part of the old order.
We got to take a break here. Bill Fitter is our guest today on Crosstalk. Amazing information, folks, but there's more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Scripture provides many warnings regarding false prophets and false teachers in the world who present another gospel which is not another. Such are teachings from Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society. They preach a different Jesus, a different salvation, a different gospel which does not align with the Scripture. Do you know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe and how to counter them from the Bible? In the book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses, author Ron Rhodes presents point-by-point lists of the favorite tactics and arguments used by the witnesses, along with effective biblical responses to each one. Presented are hundreds of good questions that you can ask to challenge the Jehovah's Witnesses' confidence in the Watchtower Society. VCY is offering Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses for a donation of $19 or more. It is available by calling 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, we conducted, I think it was four interviews with Bill leading into the election regarding his book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. Now, folks, if you want a playbook as to understand why things are unfolding the way they are and the tactics, the methods that are being utilized, this book is an eye-opener. There have been many who have obtained this already. People have not been able to put this book down because they read and said, that's exactly what's going on today as we go back in history. Crosstalk, again, we're making this available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. You can obtain it online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may contact our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829, and obtain the book called Socialism. And again, it's a real eye-opener. For instance, I'm just going to share one thing. As we had conducted a program on vote fraud, we did that back some months ago, and we had the quote from Joseph Stalin, whom Bill talked about just a bit ago. He said, I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how, but what is extraordinarily important is this: who will count the votes and how? Folks, the playbook has been laid out for us. Joseph Stalin stated that back in 1923. And folks, we're seeing things like that unfold, and we're going to get into more issues. But again, if you'd like to obtain that, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more, that includes shipping and everything to you, contact our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. And also, you can find it at vcyamerica.org. One other item, and that is, we've talked about matters like the 25th Amendment and other amendments as well here. What do these say? What do they mean? Folks, if you don't have a copy of the Constitution, we have what's called Documents of Freedom that includes the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, all the amendments, the Bill of Rights, of course, George Washington Farewell's address. It's all in a pocket-sized book, which we make available for donation of just $5. It's available also online at vcyamerica.org or call 800-729-9829. Well, Bill, as you know, there are some that will argue it is social media that is in charge of the country. I mean, we see the purging of President Trump on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and the list goes on. And then other censorship is also taking place, even of people who are supportive of the president. The Stop the Steal has been, you know, purged from the internet, and we see massive censorship going on. Even a retailer, Patriotic Me, this is on Western Journal, permanently banned from advertising pro-America products on Facebook. I mean, it's outrageous, but this purging that's going on is right to the socialist playbook as well. But give us your comment on this. I mean, do you see actions like these pushing us down the pathway of socialism?
Right. It's totally hypocritical as to what message gets out and what message doesn't. So in 1971, March 1st, the U.S. Capitol was bombed by Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground. They set off an explosive device in one of the Senate restrooms, and it blew up and did tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage. Did Bill Ayers get in trouble? No. The liberal courts let him off on a technicality, and then he gets hired by a university in Chicago and becomes a leftist professor, and he hosts a fundraiser kicking off the state Senate campaign of Barack Obama. Bill Ayers, and then Eric Mann of the Weather Underground trains Patrice Cullors, who went on to found Black Lives Matter. And so we see that here one group can bomb the Capitol and they don't get in trouble for it. And then the other one has Antifa people infiltrate and then they get blamed for it. And then we see this purging through the internet. Now a little background, controlling information, is vitally important. A little domino that I, explanation is in America, the country is controlled by laws. Laws are controlled by politicians. Politicians are controlled by voters. Voters are controlled by public opinion. Public opinion is controlled by the media, education, and now the internet. And so whoever controls media, education, and the internet controls the country. It's the brain. It's the nerve center. If your brain cannot send signals down to your feet, you can't walk. And so if they get control of the nervous system, the media, they're in control. And so this goes back to the Greek theater, them wanting to control information if they can present it in a humorous fashion or whatever, the Greek comedies, but they'll ridicule their opponents until people want to back away from them. A little history of controlling people in their thoughts goes back to Wells Fargo Wagon, Sears Catalog, and they would sell products, and they would just list the details of the product. And then in the early 1900s, they realized if they could put a picture of a pretty girl holding the product, it would say, hey, now you'll be friends with pretty girls, the subliminal message, if you use this product. And everybody wants to be accepted. And then they make it look like this is what the group uses. And now everybody wants to be in the group. And so Crisco oil was made out of cottonseed. Nobody wanted to eat it because they would use it for machinery in factories. And, but since Crisco oil would not mention cottonseed anywhere on their advertisements, they coined the term vegetable based or whatever. And they just marketed it with the setting of, oh, every mother's cooking with it in their kitchen. And so now this manipulation of the perception of a product goes national. And now we hook that in with fear. So 1938. Orson Welles, an actor, reads a radio drama, War of the Worlds, on the radio. New Jersey, we interrupt this program to announce that New Jersey's been invaded by Martians. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the country runs outside, looks up in the sky, and this fear, panics goes across the country. Now we go to World War II. And Joseph Goebbels is a master at how to manipulate mob emotions and realizes everybody wants to fit in with the group, like buying a product that everybody's using, and fear. And so he orchestrates these big, huge Colosseum events with hundreds of thousands of people, and they would start at the front giving the Hitler salute, work their way back, and everybody would see everybody else giving the Hitler salute, and they would give the Hitler salute, and then somebody would see you giving it, and they would feel pressured. Before you know it, people that felt like they were going to stand up against Hitler now got swept into it. And this was studied after the war. It's called the Solomon-Ash conformity experiment, done on college campuses. And they would pull 8 students into a room. 7 had been paid ahead of time to be actors. 1 was a naive participant. And the teacher put 2 cards on the front desk. 1 card had 1 line, the other had 3 lines, 1 longer, shorter, and 1 the same length. And starting with the paid actors, they would stand up and convincingly say that the shorter line was equal to the other line.
Wow.
By the time it got around to the 8th naive participant, 30% of them would deny their own eyes and go along with the group if they wanted to be accepted and fit in. This is all turned into elections. It's all turned into media. And so they want to control the Facebook, the unfriending, the unplatforming. They want to make it look like this is what the group now believes, and you have to go along and throw away your doubts and embrace what the group says.
And that they even want you to believe that it's unpatriotic to be patriotic. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing through these platforms. Folks, Bill was with me on September 8th, 2020, Crosstalk. Go back, listen to it, crosstalkamerica.com. We did a program on the socialism communist goals where we spent just time on one chapter. But on this aspect of the media control, listen to this. and we read these. We can't get into it further now. We did on that program, but here's goal number 20 from Communist Goals. Infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policymaking positions. Number 21 goal, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. And that's what we're seeing take place. Now, Bill, as we're talking about media, and if people don't think what we've seen now is examples of socialism going on, now we have a PBS lawyer, Public Broadcasting System, caught saying that Homeland Security should seize the children of Trump supporters and put them in re-education camps. This was an individual, we understand, now fired this week, caught under camera, or undercover, celebrating the deaths of Republican voters to COVID, but called President Trump as being close to Hitler and said Trump voters are raising a generation of intolerant, horrible people, the cure for which would go for all the Republican voters and Homeland Security will take children away and put them into re-education camps or enlightenment camps. Bill, if this isn't socialism, I don't know what is, but it makes me really question, what are they teaching on Sesame Street to the kids?
Right. So that person could get a job in China, because that's exactly what they're doing in China. If you are a political dissident, they take you away and they put you in re-education camps where you're brainwashed. That together with trauma. They've studied that if you can traumatize people and then inundate them and get them emotionally confused, then that's how you brainwash people. They've already got the public school system. And they've already been pushing their transgender type agenda. And so, yeah, that's the goal. They want to hit, they did this to Hitler. The conservatives, they didn't use those terms over in Germany, but the people with Christian values went to Hitler and said, "We'll never follow you." And he says, "I don't care. I have your children." And, Hitler canceled Sunday church and had sports events on Sunday. And then would gradually allow them to have sexual promiscuity and so forth. And within a very, very short time, move them away from the previous Judeo-Christian heritage they had. You know, one thing I want to throw in, what George Washington almost prophesied this. In his farewell address, Washington talked about parties, and not drinking parties, but political parties. And he warned, because he saw... You had the Federalist Party, the Anti-Federalist Party. He saw them beginning to emerge, and he says, this is dangerous. It's tapping into the most base human emotion, and people will be willing to betray their country to a foreign power in order to advance their particular political party. This is what Washington says. Passionate attachment of one nation for another produces a variety of evils. It gives to ambitious, corrupted, or deluded citizens facility to betray or sacrifice the interests of their own country, sometimes even with popularity. Such attachments are particularly alarming to the true and enlightened and independent patriot. But then he goes on to say that real patriots who may resist the intrigues are liable to become suspect and odious. And while the tools and dupes usurp the applause and confidence of the people, the real patriots are persecuted. So Washington foretold what we're seeing happening.
Bill Federer, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Boy, I've got so many other things here, Bill. ABC News contributor Rick Klein said in a now-deleted tweet, Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Cleansing the movement he commands is going to be something else. This is an amazing quote. Pamela Geller had this on her website, taking the copy from the Federalist Papers. But this is amazing. Cleansing the movement he commands is going to be something else. And that's what's seeking to be done now, because now we have Hillary Clinton even labeling Trump supporters as being domestic terrorists that need to be tracked down and surveilled.
Yeah, and with the...
Tell you what, I'm going to have you comment on this.
Their side.
Yeah, we're going to have you comment on this on the other side of the break. That break came upon us quickly here. But, friends, it's amazing what's going on. Cleanse the movement that he commands is going to be something else. And now the calling of people that were there at the event, domestic terrorists? Folks, this is coming from multiple sources, including that of Hillary Clinton. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. January 6th, 2021. Will that be remembered as America's Reichstag moment? Remember when Hitler burned his own building and then tried to blame it on his enemies? Apparently, there is increasing evidence, including video, of just that occurring. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, anarchist, invading the U.S. Capitol and doing the damage. Maybe a few Trump people got caught up in it, but somebody clearly opened the doors. I've been to the U.S. Capitol many times. Lived there in the D.C. area for 8 years. I used to go there when there were no metal detectors and anyone could walk in. I've been there years after. Everything is locked down. Somebody had to open those doors. Somebody had to remove the police. And you've seen the video of the police removing the barricades and letting them in. Folks, I think this was a staged event to now blame conservatives, Christians, constitutionalists as being domestic terrors. America better wake up and not buy the propaganda.
I wish that we could take calls today here, friends, but we've got more information we want to give out even in this final segment here today. I mean, it is so much that is going on, even what we are witnessing with our own eyes. And Bill did, as I mentioned, four interviews with us leading up to the election. He had just released his book this year on socialism, how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control, really lays out all that we're seeing right now. And we have warning after warning after warning pertaining to this aspect of socialism. And folks, it is front and center. Classic examples going on before our very eyes. We do have copies of this book available. Our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. It's available at VCYAmerica.org, VCYAmerica.org, or by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Also, we have the booklets with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all the amendments, Washington's Farewell Address, Declaration of Independence, Documents of Freedom is available. Donation of $5, same sources there. Bill, I was just talking here about this matter of the intolerance. Those people moving to classify the Make America Great Again rallies as domestic terrorist activities. Hillary Clinton labeling Trump supporters as domestic terrorists, need to be tracked, need to be surveilled. I mean, truly troubling what we see take place there.
Right. So one thing that everyone needs to understand is psychological projection. It is a tactic coined by Sigmund Freud, a psychologist, where rude people call everyone they don't like rude. And so this has gotten into politics, where you accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. David Axelrod was Obama's campaign manager, and he said on NPR Radio 2014, he says, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent. In other words, you do the crime and you blame your opponent of it. So if there's a candidate colluding with Russia, giving away a fifth of the U.S. uranium to Russia in exchange for a $145 million contribution to her Clinton Foundation, she wants to accuse her opponent, Donald Trump, of colluding with Russia. If there's another candidate that's extorting the Ukraine, saying, stop investigating my son, or I'm going to hold back U.S. money, you want to accuse your opponent, Donald Trump, of extorting the Ukraine. You accuse them of the exact crime you're guilty of. Why? Because their name gets associated with it in the media, and people make subconscious connections. If it ever gets pointed back at you, by that time the water's muddied, the public doesn't know who to trust, and you get a pass. So the intolerant people are accusing you of being intolerant. The hateful people accuse you of being hateful. The people that are organizing the storming of state capitals in Columbus, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and in Denver, Colorado, and trashing these state capitals, they want to accuse you, your group, of attacking the Capitol. They want to. So this is what's happening every day in the news. As soon as they say, well, this group's doing that, stop, look at who's pointing the finger, yeah. They're usually the ones guilty.
And keep in mind that President Trump has been saying, no violence, no violence. And I heard the media just say within the last 24 hours, the president's been really silent. But look at all the communication tools that they have cut off from him in this regard. Bill, we've got just a couple minutes left, but this is something else. We talked about the media before. We have AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, now urging Congress to go full Big Brother. The Daily Caller has a story saying that we must rein in the media. We must rein in the media. Wow. Again, socialist tactic. We kind of touched on that briefly just moments ago.
Yeah. Another tactic is seizing the moral high ground. Casinos do this. If a casino wants to move into an area, people say crime's going to go up, prostitution, sex trafficking. But if the casino gets a little money to schools, they can say, we care about the children.
Right,
and
right.
You don't support casinos, you must hate the children. And so they seize the moral. So they want to show themselves, present themselves as caring more about people's health than you. Well, we're going to demand that you give up all your freedoms and rights because we care about people's health more than you. And now they're saying, we care about the Capitol building more than you, and we care about patriotism, when actually it's the opposite. So that's important. Lastly, China. When the communists were taken over, they were bulldozing churches, and, Chiang Kai-shek had converted, became a Christian, a Methodist, but Harry S. Truman abandoned him and allowed the communist Chinese to take over. And they were killing the Christians. And some of the Christian pastors, like Watchman Nee and others, had to warn them and say, look, this building's not the church. You're the church. Five things. Listen for people around you in the course of a day with a need. Do the best you can to meet the need. Become their friend. Introduce them to some other Christian friends. Finally, introduce them to your friend Jesus. And with this pattern, tells the story of a lady in the laundromat hearing crying and goes over. It's a new pregnant mom. She doesn't know how they're going to make it. She brings over a bag of groceries, keeps checking on her, have some of her other Christian friends bring. And then finally this girl says, why are you being nice to me? And they said, let us tell you about our friend Jesus. So this, with this model, the Christians in China exploded in growth behind the bamboo curtain. So we're seeing it may move in the direction that our Christian message may have to be personalized. We may not be able to use the radio to communicate, and it's up to each individual person to listen for those that cross their path during the day with a need, meet the need, be their friend, introduce them to their Christian friends, finally introduce them to Jesus, and take personal responsibility for sharing the gospel.
Oh, amen. In such a time as this, folks, don't give up praying for this nation. Continue to be involved in that. I just want to point out one last thing here, in that next week is to be the inauguration. The theme is Americans United. Think about it. Americans United, yet we're going to force you to fund abortions. We're going to expand the killing of the innocent in the womb. We're going to force churches to accept LGBT and issues and to violate your scriptures, violate your Christian conviction. But our theme is Americans United. Bill, we've got 40 seconds. Your final comment here today.
Well, it's in times of crises that people turn to Christ, and so I see we're going to have a great revival. And it's also in times of crises that God raises up leaders, whether it's a Gideon, a David, a Moses. And so this is the good Lord decided for you and I to be alive right now, and he's working his plan, and I believe that it's going to cause a lot of people to have their eyes opened and be ready for the gospel. This is our chance to step forward.
Amen. Amen. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an hour packed full of information. We could have gone another 2 hours, but thank you for taking the time and sharing those historical insights with us.
Thank you. And a lot of the information we talked about today is in the book, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present.
And, folks, it's available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your contribution here of $18 or more. It is packed full of information and really explains what it is that we're seeing take place today. It's available at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call our switchboard. If it's busy, just wait a few minutes. Call back at 800-729-9829. Indeed, friends, don't lose hope. Our hope is Jesus. And as we have stated so often, the most important issue in life is not who resides in the White House, but who resides in your heart. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.